Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. It's my pleasure to be part of your day. Chester Elton is our guest and our good friend. He's the author, along with Adrian Bostic, Augustic, I should say, of A Carrot a Day. And Chester is a speaker, a recognition consultant. He's vice president of performance recognition for the O.C. Tanner Recognition Company. And as I said, he's an author. And as you know, if you've been listening to him, you've heard him on the show before. And as you're about to find out, if you haven't been, he's a really smart guy. Chester, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate that very much.
It's good to have you back. How is things in the carrot business?
You know, they're just booming. Thanks for asking. Always glad to be back on your show and share the insights that we've gathered as we've spoken around the world. It's people are looking more and more to engage their employees and finding out that if they use the carrot or positive influence, they're going to get more from people than if they use the stick.
So the carrot's better than the stick.
Every time.
Is it better every time?
Well,
Are there times when you have to get someone's attention, though?
Oh, there's no question. No, we don't mean, you know, all carrots all the time. And we don't mean that if you're
I'm glad to hear that, because it can get kind of orange after a while, couldn't you?
You know, actually, if you drink a lot of carrot juice, it actually does turn your skin orange.
It does, I know,
cool,
yeah.
Actually, yeah. Anyway, no, what we mean by that is that you've got to build up a relationship. And we're not saying you never have tough conversations. I mean, if you think back to some of the great managers you've had, you know, you get that positive feeling when their name is mentioned. Now, did you have tough conversations with those great managers? Well, sure,
yep.
You did.
Yep.
But you see, what the carrot does...
Well, that was when they were being great, when they were being tough on me.
Well, yeah, but what I'm saying is that there's a relationship there, and when they have the tough conversations with you, you know that the intent is right. It's not just to beat you up. You know, it's not to make themselves better by pushing you down. It's you know that they have your best interest at heart, and you trust them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the carrot does. It builds trust.
Well, exactly, and you're right. I mean, it's that underlying belief that no matter what they're saying to you or how sternly they may be saying it to you, they have your best interest, they care about you, and it's like that teacher. I mean, how many of us, Chester, I bet you're just like me, your favorite teacher wasn't your favorite teacher at the time, but when you look back, in retrospect, you look back and this person became your favorite teacher because you realized they were the ones who made you perform.
Right. They push you. You know, it's interesting. We've done some really interesting work with a group called the Jackson Organization. They do a lot of workplace environment surveys and things like this. And one of the things we wanted to find out was, what are the number one correlators or characteristics of managers and leaders that are high users of recognition? In other words, that use recognition to communicate what they value most. And the number one correlator was trust. So again, what we're talking about here is managers that set clear expectations. They see what their employees are doing. And when they reach those expectations or go above and beyond, they celebrate those successes. And if you look at what great leaders do, they're great celebrators. You know, they're great rah-rah guys. But only when you've met the expectations they've set. And that's what we're talking about by using the carrot. We're not talking about just, you know, being the nicest guy on the planet, although you find that a lot of great leaders are genuinely good people. They know how to set expectations, see what's going on, and celebrate successes. And that creates that carrot culture where people want to come and stay and work hard for you.
Can't we say, Chester, that seeking excellence and using the carrot the carrot attitude and management practice that you talk about are not mutually exclusive? I mean, if somebody is being stern or if they're you know, causing you to perform, they're trying to help you seek excellence. They're not just being rough on you, if that's the way that they're doing it, I should say.
Yeah, see, this is why I love being on your program, because you get it. You know what I mean? When you want to celebrate excellence. In fact, I sent you that fun white paper that we had commissioned in May of this year. And, you know, for your listeners, if you want a copy of that, you just go to carrots.com, click on managers, go to the research, and it's right there. But what the difference
is... They can download it. They can download it from there.
Yeah, there's a PDF file. It's all the research is there.
It's free, too, right?
Pardon?
It's free, right?
It absolutely is free. There's a lot of fun free stuff on the Carrots website. But the point that you're making is that it's not just recognizing, you know, being nice or a snappy dresser or having a great sense of humor. We looked at the financials of 31 different organizations and said the organizations that are high recognizers of excellence. And again, coming back to setting what the standard of excellence is in your business, and when it's reached, you celebrate it. Well, the difference in financials is pretty dramatic, particularly when you're talking about, you know, your return on assets and your operating margins and so on. So it's not, you know, I keep preaching this all over the world where we go, it's not just a nice thing to do. It has now become an essential part of business management to recognize and engage your employees when they exhibit these excellent attributes. And that's the key.
One of the things I'd like to do for a little bit, Chester, is something you do, you're the best at, and that is I want to encourage the audience, especially those of you who are employers, to think about your top people. Think about, identify the top handful of people, and a handful could be one person, but just a small number of people without which your organization would not be able to function properly. The people that you depend upon, that if you had to disappear for 60 days, when you came back, the business would still be going. You could not do without them. And think about, ask yourself this, am I doing the things that make this person want to stay with me?
Well, that is so important. You know, we've come across some really interesting research, because I'm always fascinated about why top achievers leave an organization. You know, they're doing really well. They're an integral part of an organization. And what I find when I talk to leaders is, more often than not, they're surprised that person has left. And it's funny, we came across some research.
And Jesse, I bet they say, I was paying him well.
Exactly.
They'll say things like that, won't they?
Yeah, and they've neglected the culture part. We ask people, why did you leave? And one of the top responses from top achievers is simply this: nobody asked me to stay.
Yeah.
And isn't that heartbreaking? You
it
know,
is.
In our personal lives, we know that.
Or not only did they not ask to stay, prior to that, they didn't act like they cared whether you did stay or not.
Exactly. And, you know, we would never do that in our personal lives, right? I mean, I just celebrated 22 years of marital bliss. And, you know, I tell my wife I love her every day.
And you learned that one important thing, didn't you? If mama ain't happy, nobody's happy.
That's right. Happy.
Stand by. Quick break. When we come back, I've got a couple of important questions to ask for Chester. He can answer them, and they will benefit you, this answer he's going to give us. 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
As you stand by me. So darling.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're rocking and rolling with our good friend Chester Elton, the co-author of A Carrot a Day and The 24 Carrot Manager. And is that the two books? Is there more than one book? I mean, one of the two, or is it just
one? There's three, actually. Our
there it is.
Was Managing with Carrots, but the two that you mentioned, I think, are the best books for your listeners.
Well, the other one was hidden. I didn't have it was hidden from me. It was stuck under some other stuff. Anyway, three books, folks. And give us that website again, Chester.
It's just real simple. It's www.carrots.com.
All right. Carrots.com. Check it out, folks, when you get a chance. If you're wondering, back to what I said a minute ago, if you're thinking about your top performers, your top people, and you're wondering, have I done everything that I need to do to make these people happy, to make sure that they stay? And it's not about money necessarily, folks. If you're not convinced that you're doing it, and maybe I'm going to ask Chester this in a second, you need to ask them that somehow, come up with a way to ask it. And if you don't know how to do that, if you'd like to be armed with a little bit more information, a little bit more capability, go to carrots.com and check out some of the stuff that Chester and Adrian make available there. Okay, how do I find that out, Chester? How do I find out if, you know, without walking up and saying, Do I make you happy, Bill? Without doing that, how do we find out if they're happy?
Well, there's a couple of things you can do. We came across a fun little survey. And actually, if your listeners will drop me a quick note at chester@carrots.com, we've developed a fun little employee survey. And it's just a little something you can do. You give the employee and you ask him to fill it out. And it just asks him real quick, you know, how do you want to be recognized? For what would you like to be recognized? Mm-hmm. You know, if you had a day to do anything you wanted to do, what would you do? It's a great little tool for managers and leaders to just understand a little better what it is their employees value. Now, think about what you're doing when you do that. You've got a bit of a contract, because if I'm surveying you on how you want to be recognized, if I'm an employee, that means that, hey, when I perform, I'm going to be recognized. I love what you said about the difference between compensation and recognition. See, compensation gets people in the door. You got to pay them fairly, or they're not going to show up anyway. But once they're in the door, what are you doing to engage their hearts and minds in your worthy cause? What are you doing to make them feel like what they do is meaningful, important work? And that's where recognition communicates those values. You mentioned on our website, you know, we've got a fun monthly newsletter, and again, mm-hmm. It's free, that'll give you just little tips once a month on cool things you can do. We've got podcasts you can download for seasonal gift giving and things like that. It's all free to help you build your culture. And then, of course, what I love about a Care Today book is if you've got a New Year's resolution to do more for your folks, that book just gives you a tip a day on little low-cost, no-cost mm-hmm. things you can do to engage your employees.
I've got mine right in front of me, folks, and there's a little page marker, you know, like a big dictionary page marker kind of thing that you can close over, you can fold it over on the day of the year that you're at and keep your place. Jesse, let me throw out an idea and see what you think about this. One of the reasons I think small business owners don't do as good a job of recognition as they probably would like to, or as they probably don't do as good a job as they think they are doing, because I don't think they're doing it intentionally. But what I think happens, we're in our businesses because it is our businesses are us. I mean, this is how who we are. It's how we identify ourselves. The seam between an owner and a business is a very fine seam. And so we know why we're there. We see these other people who seem to get it. And yet, so we're thinking, well, they're here just like me, so they must love this as much as I do. Well, and so, see, we don't have to be recognized. But they're a little different, and I think we don't get that sometimes. What do you think?
Well, what you're talking about is passion. You know, when you're the owner of the business, you've got a passion for it, and that's why you're in it. And a lot of times as owners, we don't understand why other people don't have that same passion. You know, and it is interesting what you talk about. To me, it's the difference between a renter and an owner. You know,
right.
You take a little better care of your house when you own it as opposed to when you rent it. But so how do you get your people involved? And one of the things I tell particularly small business owners is it's much more devastating to you when one of your good employees leaves, because you don't have that redundancy of a big corporation.
Right.
You don't have a legal department with 10 lawyers, and if one leaves, you don't care. You know, that one person leaves, it impacts you. So what are some of the simple things you can do? You've got the crush of business. You're worrying about the bills. You're worrying about your key clients, and you're worrying about your employees getting it. One of the things I tell people, it's so simple, and yet it's so impactful. Go buy yourself a huge stack of thank you cards and sit down at the beginning of the day or the end of the day, whichever part of the day that you know can carve out. And you pick those two or three employees that you watched during the day that did something great and write them a little thank you note. And I don't mean just say, hey, great you showed up today. Thank you, thank you, thank you, you know, Tom. No, mm-hmm. Sit down and say, listen, I watched the way you handled that client. They're important to us. They were upset when they came in and they left with a smile on your face. That's what we talk about when we talk about mm-hmm. customer service. That was a great job. Specificity, a little handwritten note. And let me tell you
Can I stop you for a second? Because we got to wrap it up here, Chester. But
sure.
What if you're concerned that you'll forget to do that? What's wrong with just walking up, putting your hand on the shoulder and saying, well done?
Yes. Also excellent. You know, I love the verbal praise, but I also love the little token you have with
There's
the thank
something
you
about holding it in your hand, isn't there?
It is. is. And you know what? You'll be surprised. People will treasure those things for years to come.
Yep. No, it's amazing. I still remember moments like that with mentors of mine.
You
and,
bet.
And some of them were decades ago. Hey, will you give us your website again, Chester?
It's www.carrots.com.
Check it out, folks. It's an important site. Thanks, Chester. Happy New Year. See you next time. Chester Elton, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I will be too, with Barbara Weltman on the other side of these messages. This show is brought to you by IBM, Office Depot, and Administaff.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.